The Jebusites, they want to stomp on you. They want to destroy you. They want to put you down. They want you to be humiliated, feel small, prevent from growing spiritually, prevent from being taller in your life, inherited evil. You're nobody. You're nothing. You're a militant. You're no good. The true things of the Spirit, the depth of the Spirit, not for you. Want to keep you under your potential. You'll never grow in God. You'll never be anything. That's also in the spiritual realm, and it's also in the physical realm. You meet people all the time that has that spirit in operation within their lives. I'll never do anything else in life but this. What's the sense of going to school? Because I'll fail. That's that spirit in operation. That's that spirit in operation. And we looked at this pretty thoroughly. And again, you can go back if you miss any one of these. You can go back and listen on demand on the website. And this is exactly what goes on. Now, it was a regular day, ninth hour, which is about 3:00 PM, and Peter and John were heading toward the temple to pray. That's interesting. They're heading toward the temple to pray. They still have that Jewish custom in their life because they were raised that way. So 3:00 came, off they went to pray. You have to remember that. You have to remember that. And they passed by the beautiful gate, the gate of grace. And a man was there. He's been there forever. And he wanted to get something from them, ask of alms. So he asks of men. He asks of men something that God could do. And so Simon Peter says, on behalf of both of them, we don't have anything. We don't have anything. And they transferred from a man meeting a need to a God meeting a need. The Lord, here, I need alms of men. Simon says, we don't have any alms of men. We're not going to do that. We're going to give you grace. And bang, he's healed. After he is healed, the people began to rejoice. He shouted all the place. Somebody asked me one time, he said, Pastor, I've never read anywhere in the Bible where Jesus jumped up and down and hollered loudly and frailed his hands and screamed. And they're absolutely right. It's not there. I've never read either where Jesus jumped up and down and screamed and shouted and ran all over the church. But everybody else that he touched sure did. They all rejoiced and praised and glorified God with loud voices. I mean, they cranked up the vocal cords. So you're right. They're right. No, I never read anywhere where Jesus ever did that, but I know everyone he touched sure did. I mean, you have a person that's dead and he is or she is resurrected. I don't think they're going to sit there very quietly and go, you know, Jesus just, No, shout and jump up and down and holler and wave their hands with the healing power of God in operation. And that's what happened to this man. This man just went Pentecostal on him. Well, should have, because they're a Pentecostal church. Power of Pentecost. Amen. Amen. Power of the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The unction is called of the Holy Ghost. Got a hold of him. And he just leaped and jumped and shouted and hollered and got everybody's attention. Then in chapter 4, verse 1 says, and they spake unto the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, the Sadducees came upon them. Wow. The religiosity of the day got mad. The religious people got angry. And they'll do it with you too. You start jumping up and down and screaming and praising and giving God glory. Somebody in the church is going to get mad at you. In most places, right? Raise your hands all the way up and clap and dance a little bit. Boy, that's that religious spirit. So 4:1, then 2, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection from the dead. Look at this. They're grieved. I mean, they're grieved. They just don't like it. They just grieved in their heart that they preached Jesus and the resurrection from the dead. The Sadducees believed in that. No, they didn't. The Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. The Pharisees did, and the Sadducees didn't. Look who's in this group. Now, the priests were Sadducees. No, they were Pharisees. The captain of the temple, guards, Romans. Sadducees were the one that's really upset about resurrection. They still are. Okay, they still get mad. Here's what they did. And they lay hands on them. I tell you who did that. That was the temple guard. Because the Sadducees and priests were too righteous for that. Put them in hold until the next day, for it is now evening time. So what happened is, this is interesting, this occurred, of the healing of the man, at 3:00 in the afternoon. Now it's 6:00 in the evening. The day is over. Remember, the Jewish day goes from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. 3:00 in the afternoon is prayer. That's the ninth hour. Eventide was 6:00. The day was done. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. See, they were grieved because they taught the people. The spiritual authority of the Jebusites are involved here. They're grieved at the presence and power and anointing and spiritual gifting. It grieves them. The Holy Spirit in operation through the human vessel grieves them. They hate teaching. They hate preaching. They hate revelation. They hate resurrection. And here, all of a sudden, they want to keep people dead. If you don't get resurrected, you're dead. Spiritually, physically. And they want to keep them dead. I wonder, I may get somebody mad here at me, but I wonder how many churches are operating in the Jebusite spirit, because the churches are as dead as last year's bird's nest, as someone says. There's no life in those churches. There's no singing at churches with any anointing. There's no power in that church. They just simply are dead. Now, it may have just affected you, and you may be mad at me. But keep listening. Keep listening. Now, let's get to Isaiah chapter 28. And it looks down at verse 23. Look at this. Look at this. All right. Listen and hear my voice. Pay attention and hear what I say. That's Isaiah 28, 23. When a farmer plows for planting, does he plow continually? Question one. Question two. Does he keep on breaking up and working the soil? All right. Question two. 25. And when he has leveled the surface, does he not sow caraway and scatter cumin? These are, of course, grains. Question 3. Does he not plant wheat in his place, barley in his pot, and spelt in the field? Question 4. So he says, does he always plant the same type seed? The answer is no. 26. His God instructs him and teaches him the right way. So you don't plant the same type seed everywhere in every field. No. I am not an individual that horticulturist, but I know that if you keep planting the same seed in the same field all the time, it destroys the ground, the soil of that field. Eventually, it will not produce. So you change the crops. 27, caraway is not threshed with a sledge, nor is the wheel of a cart rolled over common. Caraway is beaten out with a rod and common with a stick. Grain must be ground to make bread, so one does not go on threshing it forever. Interesting passage there. Interesting passage. The wheels of a threshing cart may be rolled over it, but one does not use horses to grind grain. What spiritual lesson here? What spiritual lesson? Then 29. All this also comes from the Lord Almighty, whose plan is wonderful, whose wisdom magnificent. So here it is right here. The wheat is not harvested the same way everything else is harvested. See, and God produces interesting, wonderful insight. See, and he talks about this resurrection. One of the resurrection, you want to find out about resurrection. People don't understand resurrection. It's called the tagma. It's called the tagma. In order. And this is the resurrection chapter of the Bible. It says exactly how the resurrection will come, the order in which it will come, and the mechanism of it coming, of it happening. 1 Corinthians 15 is the resurrection chapter of the Bible. And down in verse 37, it says, And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bear grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. It's sown in death, it's raised in the resurrection. See, we hold on things for dear life. We hold on things for dear life. But we got to understand, we take a moment if you're Bible study and do 1 Corinthians 15, do that order of things called the tagma. Let me just throw this out. Okay. The Roman government had three types of trumpets. The first trumpet was, hey, everybody, we're going to move the battalions, move the legions. The second trumpet said, get in line. And the third trumpet said, go. And it was called the last trumpet or the tagma, T-A-G-M-A. All right, the tagma. And what happens there is that the legions were getting ready. When that first trumpet blew, you better get your stuff together. I mean, you better put your stuff in your pouches. You better get all your stuff, get your uniforms on, get ready, put your swords on, your helmets, get ready to go. Second trumpet, you better line up where you assigned to line up. And the third trumpet, the march happens. Now, you better be in that line, and you better be dressed for battle. And if you're not, they're going to leave without you. That's the resurrection of the tagma in 1 Corinthians 15. God says, okay, be ready, get in line. And that's why it says, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise. You better be ready. Now, in this thought about harvest and resurrection that they hated, you go to Luke chapter 17, verse 33. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. No harvest, no resurrection. No harvest, no resurrection. Now, let me show you something here. Let's go back to Acts 4 again, all right? Acts 4. All right, and look at verse 4. Now, they're hearing all this. Five thousand people. Number of the men was about 5,000. We don't know about the women and children. Now in verse 4 again, Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of men was about 5,000. Now, that was godly rebellion, okay? That was godly rebellion. By the way, the number 5 means grace. Number 5, 5,000, grace. All right, number 5 in the Bible means grace. You can absolutely. Now, I want you to see something here. I'm going to tell you something. The number 1,000 means abundance above measure. The number 5,000 is abundance beyond the measure of the people to whom God has imparted grace. So what happens is all of a sudden people started believing and believing, 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 believing. And what they did, they rebelled against Jebusite authority. They rebelled against Jebusite authority. Now, what was the reaction of what's going on from these individuals? Sadducees don't believe in the resurrection. The priests who are Pharisees should. And then the Roman temple guards. 5, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers, their elders, and their scribes. Here you go. Let's just add another team here. Not enough. We got to get more people out there. The rulers, elders, and scribes. So look at the reaction here, verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow. So now it's the next day. Because it was nighttime. The day had ended at 6 o'clock. Sun was going down. And day was over. So everybody went to their homes, their houses, their locations. And it was dangerous to be out at night. Like that right now in some areas, right? Now, 6. Then Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas. All right. Remember, there was a dual high priestship during that time. Okay? There was 2 high priests because the high priest was a purchased position. It was as corrupt as can be. Corruption was rolling through that place. Nothing spiritual at all, period. Corruption is not a new thing. It goes all the way back to the high priests of Israel. It was purchased. Annas was the high priest and Caiaphas. This was a father-son team that had the money to buy the high priesthood from the Roman government. They didn't care. The Roman government didn't care. So they purchased. They would purchase. They went to Pilate and they said, hey, here's my son. I'll give you X amount of dollars. He was as corrupt as can be. And here's X amount of dollars. Appoint him high priest. And that's exactly what happened. So you have a dual high priest and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Family affair, right? Family affair. Family affair. See, Jebusites are operating in teams and groups. That's why there's always a group of people with the same thought against God. There's always, it's not one person, it's many. You ever notice that? They come in hordes. Verse 6. You got a double high priest, John and Alexander, and the whole family that were all corrupt. They were all corrupt. Sure they were. 7. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Another question. They confront the disciples, the apostles, and they want to know about power because that's how this spirit functions. Then verse 8, then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost and unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Here's what happened. Be it made known unto you, verse 10, and all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you. You talk about kicking somebody in the shins that you talk about going against the grain. You guys murdered Jesus. That's what you did. That's what you did. Verse 11, and this is a stone which is set of naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Lack of spiritual discernment. Please, listener, ask God for one of the greatest gifts that you need today. It's the gift of spiritual discernment. And if you have the gift of spiritual discernment, you will not be deceived by these spirits. You will not be deceived. Not be deceived. 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So you're rejecting the very person that saves you and resurrects you. 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, this spirit, Jebusite spirit, hates spiritual boldness, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant. They didn't know the Torahs. That's what that means. Doesn't mean they didn't, you know certain things. They didn't know. Unlearned and ignorant talks about the Torah and the Old Testament laws and the Old Testament principles and precepts. They marveled. Wow, these they don't know. Look at this. To acknowledge to them that they had been with Jesus. Their boldness, unlearned. And then verse 14, the man standing in the middle of them, and they can't say anything against him because they knew him. He was the guy that always was by the gate of grace, gate beautiful. He was always there. Then they didn't, they were at the dilemma. What are we going to do? Question. Oh no, it's a notable miracle. And everybody knows about it, and we cannot deny it. Let me tell you something. The power of the miraculous cannot be denied. They hate it. They don't like it. But here's a person sick one moment and well the next, in a wheelchair one moment and standing the next. You can't say it didn't happen because it did. And though my prayer is, oh God, send your power and anointing and Father, release your miraculous ability into the life of the believers. Can't deny that. Can't deny that. And they called them, commanded them not to speak nor teach in the name of Jesus. Oh, they can't stand it. And they said, hey, we're going to do what's right. It's godly rebellion. And we're going to hearken unto the Spirit more than you. And then 20, if you cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So what did he do? It's bad news for the Jebusite. They threaten them, let them go. They don't know how to punish them because the people are glorifying the Lord. They're just jumping up and down and running and screaming and yelling. And a lot of them were spirit-filled. Maybe they all speaking in tongues. And when you look at this, this goes on. How do I know? 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up, oh, I like this, their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is. And I'm telling you, when you read the passage of Scripture, it says lifted up the voice, they're lifted up their voice. It wasn't whispering. Shh. They screamed at the top of their lungs. Wow. Wow. 25. Who by the mouth of thy servant David had said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? And the kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. That's Psalm 2. for of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel are gathered together. There you go. There's the corruption right there. From Herod all the way down. Pontius Pilate, of course. And then the Gentiles who hated the Lord. But we do whatsoever thy hand, thy counsel determined before to be done. 29. And now, Lord, behold thy threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak the word. 30. By stretching forth their hand to heal, and look at this, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child. Jesus, I'm about ready to shout amen. Signs and wonders. I believe in signs and wonders. Where people go, I wonder what happened there. I wonder, wasn't that, wow, he was just sick. They look at this. 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but he had all things in common. And that's another thought. That's another thought. They absolutely brought condemnation and defeat to the Jebusite spirit. We need more of that today, don't we? Let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 6 through 10. Look at this. What about the Jebusites? Well, here they come. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land. The Jebusites want to inhabit the land, which spake unto David, saying, except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. We don't want those that are in need, the blind and the lame. You cannot come here. You cannot come here. And you don't have the power to come here. 7. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion as the same as the city of David. Let me tell you something. The only group of people in the history of Israel, all the way back, to conquer Jerusalem and the Jebusites was David. Everybody else never conquered Jerusalem. The Jebusites were so strong there. So strong. And they said, no, we're not going to give way. We're not going to give up. We're not going to do anything. But here comes the anointed one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Then 8, David said on that day, whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul. Look at this. He shall be chief and captain. Wherefore thou... They said, the blind and the lame shall not come into the house. You think so? You think you're going to stop God, O Jebusite spirit? That's what you think about? Your ruler over Jerusalem, but you better watch out. Here comes the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. So what happened? So David dwelt in the fort, called it the city of David, and David built around about the Milo and inward. He just built it. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord of hosts was with him. Hallelujah. Yes, the Jebusites mocked and made fun of the anointing of God in David's life. Listen to me very carefully. And the anointing of God in your life will be mocked by the Jebusite spirit. Somebody, someplace, out there somewhere with a Jebusite spirit will mock your anointing. Always happens, always will, always shall. Now, let's go back to, again, Acts chapter 4. Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were filled all with the Holy Ghost and spake the word of God with boldness. That's what we need. This is a day we pray for revival. That's what we need in the body of Christ, in the churches everywhere. When we pray, we need the power of God to fall. When we're together and be filled with the Holy Ghost and rise up in the anointing of the power of God, we need to shake the human structures. Remember, in chapter 4, chapter 3, silver and gold have I none. Need to shake the human structures. And that's the importation of the anointing. Now let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 24. We don't have time to read this, but I'll tell you what's happening. This is a picture of today's church. We can't go through this, but this is a picture of today's church. Verse 1, and again the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. Imagine it. Put the word Israel and put the word church, because the Old Testament Israel was a symbol and a type of the New Testament church. Again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the church. Wow. And he moved David against them to say, go number Israel and Judah. And then you can read the rest of it. The picture of today's church. We need to honor God's spirit. And we need to say, God, release your spirit in our lives. And these seven evil spirits, these seven evil spirits can't stand the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God. They can't. It shakes them up. And these seven evil spirits are conquered by the anointing and power, the word of God, the baptism of the Spirit, understanding how things work, understanding what we're dealing with, and we can overcome, and we shall, and we will overcome the seven evil spirits. From Deuteronomy 7, 1 and 2, and we shall make no compromise with them.